Continuing resolution to fund the federal government through December 11th now has President Obama's signature. It prevents a full government shutdown from kicking in on October 1st, but it doesn't do much else for federal employees. That may or may not be good news. Colleen Kelly's president of the National Treasury Employees Union and looking at the impact of the CR for her members. Madam President, thanks for being on the program. I think the sentence that I read as I brought you on is accurate. It doesn't do much for federal employees. I guess the silver lining in that cloud is that it doesn't do much to federal employees either, does it?
That's a good way to phrase it, Francis, yes.
I try to keep the glass half full rather than half empty. What do you see when you look at the CR, Colleen?
Well, of course, the good news is that it avoids a shutdown, as you mentioned, and that is something that really was bothering federal employees. They were worried because the last one was so fresh in their memories as to whether or not they would get caught in that crossfire again. So that is good news that they will not have to worry about a shutdown, at least until December 11th. And the other good news, if you want to frame it that way, is that the CR was silent on a pay raise for federal employees for January of 15. And as long as Congress does not do anything else to block or to change that, to be, you know, to specifically address the pay raise, then the 1% that the president has proposed as an alternative pay plan would take effect in January. And while the 1% is nothing to get, you know, that federal employees get very excited about, because we all know that after a three-year pay freeze and then a 1% raise this year, that they surely need more than that to just try to start catching up. But it's better than the threat of a continued freeze, which there had been some talk about in Congress this past year. So.
Another reason that I would think maybe that federal employees have reason to be cautiously optimistic, I wouldn't expect any parties to happen in the coming weeks, but it appears that the chairs of the Appropriations Committee, the Republican House Chairman Hal Rogers and the Democratic Senate Chairwoman Barbara Mikulski, are already talking about an omnibus bill. And when I think of an omnibus bill, Colleen, I think of actual appropriated bills and not a continuing resolution to go from December 12th to September 30 of 15. And that might wind up being good, especially for some of the agencies where you have a lot of members.
Well, hopefully, if they do go down that road of an omnibus, they would look at the specific funding levels for each agency, which it would be a very big difference, as you said, because the CR, the good news is there's no government shutdown. The bad news is the CR funds agencies at last year's levels. And for most agencies, that is not enough to continue to deliver on their mission or to be able to hire new employees and to start training them, you know, so that they are in a position to carry on when so many who are eligible to retire are going to take that option in the foreseeable future. So the funding level, as you mentioned, is critically important. And if an omnibus or whatever they want to call it this year, if that goes down that road and recognizes the need of agencies like the IRS, like Customs and Border Protection, then that would be good news.
I want to mention CBP because you talked about that on Friday when we first learned about some of the details that are included in the CR. CBP has some flexibility that I guess one could also take as a welcome sign. That's one agency where both sides agreed they need a little bit of extra flexibility instead of just we'll give them the same amount as they had last year and they have to spend it in the same way. Now, that's been driven, of course, by the situation with the children coming across the border. But it at least does say, again, if we're trying to look at this optimistically, I guess, it does say that Congress is willing to recognize special needs where they are and make fixes, and perhaps we can, fingers crossed, look for more of that when they come back in the lame duck and look at whatever the vehicle turns out to be.
Well, hopefully, and CBP has been understaffed for a very long time. They had actually made some progress last year in the budget process to start doing some hiring that was long overdue. So this reprogramming authority in the CR was important for them to be able to maintain that hiring that they had done. And then hopefully when there's a either an appropriation or an omnibus or something that would recognize, again, that they need not just reprogramming authority, but they need additional funds, just like the IRS does.
Colleen Kelly's president of the National Treasury Employees Union, and that's a segue to where I wanted to go next. Colleen, the Internal Revenue Service is down, as you know, to about 10,000 employees over the past 3 years. They've lost about $1 billion in budget funding. Certainly you understand the political expediency of picking on the Internal Revenue Service, and it's been hard for them to find allies. How do you go about building a group of allies who will stick up for an agency that is so controversial as the IRS?
Well, for those who are looking for an excuse not to fund an agency like the IRS, it will never be the most popular agency. But if those who are making these decisions would take a step back and look at the facts. And the facts are that the IRS collects 93% of the revenue that funds the entire federal government. So even if they don't like the IRS or they wish the IRS didn't do what it does, which, by the way, what it does is enforce the laws that are passed by Congress. That's all it does. But if the agency, if the IRS is not funded to bring in that revenue, then every other federal agency is harmed because the deficit will not be decreased. The revenue will not be there to fund those agencies, whether it's CBP or Veterans Administration or the school lunch programs for children. Fill in the blank, EPA, any agency. 93% of the revenue that funds those agencies comes from the IRS.
The staffing levels there are particularly troublesome because of the shape of the workforce, too, Colleen. I had a conversation with Commissioner Koskinen a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about the oversized group of employees there who are eligible to retire, even larger there, I believe, than across the federal government as a whole. What do you expect to be able to do in conjunction with the management at the IRS to ask folks, I guess, just to hang on a little bit longer until another generation of talent is ready to go to replace them? Because it strikes me that that's really kind of what it comes down to at this point. You're just kind of crossing your fingers and hoping that people will stick through tough times like now.
Well, if that works, that would be helpful, except that with all of the nonstop attacks from Congress on federal employees on their retirement system, for example, that is going to lead many to exercise their right to retire rather than to hang on because they don't want to have their retirement, either their contributions or their benefits, impacted by Congress before they have the right to retire. So that, but I'm sure that for many employees who believe in the work that they do, and they know the difference it makes to our country, that will be enough for some of them. But for others, they're going to exercise that right. And so what we're working with the IRS on, of course, is trying to secure the funding that they need. And also, I think the IRS is ready to start hiring from at least an attrition standpoint. For the last 2.5-3 years, they have not even been able to fill vacancies as they occurred, and that's why we're down 10,000 employees, because they were not given the funding. So they were filling on average one vacancy for every 5 positions that were actually empty.
Colleen, we're just about out of time. I want to close out. I want to ask you something that we've talked about before, and that is the current state of the labor management fora that are happening across government. Is it your sense in the agencies that NTU represents employees that those discussions with labor and management are proceeding and are becoming more fruitful than they've been in the past?
I would say the experience with every agency is different, Francis. And I still find it a very frustrating process, but it is a process that I am determined to continue to work, because it is the right thing for the agencies and it's the right thing for employees. But it is it's very frustrating, and the funding problems that many agencies are facing in a lot of ways exacerbate that, because they feel the need to make decisions that should be involving the unions and the frontline employees who we represent. And in many situations, they don't do that. even today.
You kind of anticipated my follow-up question, which is what would make it less frustrating? Are they things that the agencies have control over, or is it things that are they're kind of at the will of Congress about?
Well, they don't have control over the funding, but they do have control over when they bring NTEU and the other unions into the conversation about substantive issues that affect the workforce. They are missing the boat when they don't do that because frontline employees have a lot of really good ideas about how to do the work smarter and better. And whether it's in good budgeting times or rough ones, which we're in right now, that's exactly when they should be tapping into the frontline employees and their representatives.